Tommy John won 288 games during his 26-season career. Neither his win total nor his lengthy stay in the big leagues would be possible if not for the work of Dr. Frank Job, who performed an elbow ligament transfer on John in September 1974, and thus the legend of the Tommy John surgery was born. The first patient of that operation joins us now, and Tommy, long before the surgery, I read that you had been experiencing issues in your left arm, your throwing arm, dating back to when you were a 13-year-old through the start of your major career in 1963.
Well, it's I going from 44 feet to 60 feet 6 inches. It was more than what my elbow could stand or withstand. So I didn't pitch my 13-year-old year, and I was fine after that. I was fine. I went through high school, American Legion. You know, then we started playing minor league baseball, and minor league baseball, you pitched every 4 days. Every 4 days, boom, you're out there pitching, and, you know, 3 days off, and in the middle day, you threw batting practice, and you know, it was more than what I've ever thrown in my life. And 1962, I went through this, I got some tenderness, but 1963, it started to get bad, and it hurt all year. But back in the day, or back in that day, you would never tell anybody that your arm was sore, because if you said your arm was sore, they would go, oh, he can't pitch. So he, you know, they would release you. So I kept my nose and I pitched, and I went down to Puerto Rico, which was not smart. But the general manager of the Charleston Ball Club thought it'd be a good idea for me if I did go down there and pitch against better players, older players, and show the Cleveland front office what I could do. He said, I think it would make you get to the big league faster. So I went down there and pitched, and God, my elbow was just killing me. And I pitched a shutout, 9-inning shutout, and the next day I got up and I couldn't move my arm. So I had to tell him then.
Now, Frank Job, as you mentioned, an orthopedic surgeon, was the Los Angeles Dodgers team physician upon your arrival to the club in 1972 after being traded there from the Chicago White Sox, and you actually had elbow surgery that year. How did your relationship with Dr. Job evolve, and how did that first operation help establish a trust that would be very valuable later on?
Well, you know, it's funny. I tore a flexor mass. I tore the muscle in my forearm off the bone. And so when Dr. Job came in, he cleaned out the elbow. I had a lot of bone chips and fragments in the elbow. And reattached the muscle. And, you know, so it healed. And I go to spring training. And what happened in my rehab and recovery from that operation played a huge part what was going to happen in 1974. I didn't know it then, but my arm felt fine. It felt perfect, and I'm out throwing, and I'm throwing balloons up to the plate. Not balloons, but I'm not throwing the ball good. And everybody's asking me, is your arm okay? How does your arm feel? Is your arm okay? How's your arm? Is your arm okay? Are you sure your arm is hurt? And finally, a couple of the his wives asked me, is your arm okay? And I exploded. I went, rah, rah, rah. So I came home and I told my wife, I said, the next day, I said, get ready because we may be going back to LA. Why? And I said, because I want to throw. And Dr. Gill told me, he said, nobody can tell you your arm's healed and ready to pitch except you. I can't. The trainers can't. The pitching coach can't. The manager can't. Nobody can. Mm-hmm. You're the only one. You have to tell yourself your arms ready to pitch. And today you hear these kids coming back, and I know when I was working in the Expo organization and even the Yankee organization, he's 3 weeks ahead of schedule. Whose schedule? What are they on, a train schedule, or what schedule is this? Because those trainers don't know. They don't have a friggin' clue what it is. And, these kids said, I'm way ahead of schedule. No, you're not. The schedule is between left ear and right ear. That's the schedule up there. So when I had the neck surgery in 74, I knew what I had to go through to pitch. I knew I had to convince myself that my arm was ready to pitch. And I knew that no matter what I did or what anybody said, it wasn't going to be ready until Tommy said, my arm's ready to throw.
So the injury that perpetuated the need for the surgery came after a pitch you threw on July 17th, 1974 against the Montreal Expos. Describe the pain you felt after throwing that pitch, and what were your immediate thoughts after it occurred?
My elbow. Never had pain in my elbow like that, and I went, holy geez, and I said, maybe I just, my arm was in a bad spot, and I shook it, and I got it ready, and so I threw one more pitch, and it just moved up to the plate. I walked off, and I didn't know what happened, but I told Walt Alston, I said, Walter, I've hurt my arm. You better get somebody else in there. So I got Bill Buehler. I said, Billy, get Dr. Jones. Something's wrong with my arm. And he circled up in the stands. And when I got into the clubhouse, and I changed out of my wet clothes and got into dry clothes, Dr. Jones was in the trainer's room. And, and we sat down, and there was all kinds of people in there. He told me, he says, why don't you come to my office tomorrow? After everything calms down, and he said, then we'll do an examination, because you have to understand, there was no MRIs in that day, no CT scan. All you had was X-ray. So you can X-ray your arm, and it shows, my bone is fine, my joint is clean, and all that, but my elbow was loose. I mean, it was very loose. And, he said, I think you've torn the ligament from your elbow. And that's the first I'd ever heard of it. First I'd ever heard of it.
Back then, a tear in your ulnar collateral ligament pretty much meant a career ender, and some pitchers who suffered that injury would have accepted that fate. You, of course, did not, but prior to ultimately having Dr. Joe perform the now famous elbow ligament transplant, the first of its kind, what alternatives were discussed, and what convinced you that the ligament replacement was the way to go?
There was no alternative. He said that there's, we waited 4 or 5 weeks, and if it was going to heal, it would have healed then. And there were no alternatives. I either have surgery and maybe pitch, or not have the surgery and not pitch. And so people said, oh, man, weren't you scared? Weren't you afraid? No, because I wanted to play baseball. And I knew that if I didn't have the surgery done at that time, as new as it was and as risky as it was, I was never going to pitch again. And I wanted to pitch. I would have done anything to have pitched Major League Baseball.
And Tommy John was over 30 when he got the news that a rare rupture of the tendon in your pitching elbow, and you just better forget it, young man. Think of something else to do.
Now, since this was a procedure foreign to the game of baseball, what was the reception among your teammates and fellow pitchers? Did they perceive it as slightly crazy, so to speak, or did they see it more as honorable that you were trying to overcome an injury that would, in most cases, permanently sideline a pitcher?
No, I think most of them looked at me and thought I might be a little nuts to have that done and try to come back and pitch. But if it had been them, they would have done the same thing, because there's that need that you've got to be out competing. You know, I just got off the golf course, and we played a skin game, and, you know, and it's competition. It's something that, as a ball player, your body, you crave it. You've got to have competition. And I wanted to get back out and do what I've been doing since I was 8 years old.
Now, you had missed the whole 1975 season. So did the rehabilitation process, in your mind, go slower or faster than you had anticipated? And were there any setbacks that you experienced?
No, not one minute did I get setbacks. I had some nerve problems when I tried to pitch with my arm with the ligament torn. I damaged the ulnar nerve in my elbow, and that they had to go back in and take scar tissue off it in December of 74. But that was a blessing because I had very little feeling in my fingers, so I knew that I couldn't pitch like that. So I didn't try to pitch. I was just exercising my arm, and I think had everything been perfect and my arm would have been fine and all that Tommy would have tried to come back and pitch before I was ready, and probably would have hurt my arm further. But I think things work out for the best, and what happened to me, people say, oh man, I can't believe it. You know what it did? It made me appreciate baseball a little more than maybe what I did before all this stuff happened.
What was that first game back like? Well, the first time in an actual major league game, that is. How was that like for both you and Dr. Job?
I don't know. Dr. Job wasn't there. I was in Atlanta. First game of the season. And I don't know. I just went out and I was supposed to pitch. And I didn't do bad. I didn't think. I pitched all 5 or 6 innings, gave up three runs, I think, or 4 runs. And, I thought I did okay. And Walt Austin called me in the next day, and he said, we can't be babying you. I said, what? Should baby and me. And that was a throwback from I held out in that spring, and the doctors were upset at me because I held out, and it gave the Dodgers back in that era were the most PR-oriented team in the world. My God, they controlled the press. They controlled the press more than USSR did of their newspapers and stuff. And I went, what? I said, I had pitched. Yeah, but we can't have it going out of here, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, what's the thing? And he said, well, we're going to give you one shot the next game. I said, what? You're kidding? He said, yeah. I said, well, then let me name my lineup. Oh, my God. You thought I'd ask for his kids or something, or his grandkids. And he said, we can have you like this. Okay. I'm like, what do you need? So I said, okay, let me name my catcher. And he said, who do you want? And I said, Joe Ferguson. And he said, why do you want Joe Ferguson? Because everybody thought Yeager was the catcher. And I said, oh, I like Ferguson. And I, for whatever reason, we worked well together. And so Fergie helped me. And as things happen, you know when the manager is sitting on a short fuse and you don't have a lot she doesn't have a lot of confidence in you. I've seen this before. And we had the, or Houston had a couple men on in the bottom of the first, two out, Bob Watson was up. And the bullpen was going full bore. So I go 3-0 to Bob Watson. And Joe Ferguson comes out, and he says, well, he said, all I want to tell you is this is probably going to be your last pitch in baseball. So prove it and let him hit it out of the ballpark and leave the big leagues with a home run. You know? So I threw it down the middle of the plate. I can put this crap line another one down the middle of the plate. Next. And I go, oh, okay. And so I got through seven innings of two or three hit shutout baseball. And they pinch hit for me. And being the Weisenheimer that I am, I went to Alston. And I said, well, did I pitch good enough to get one more start? And he just looked at me and he said, get upstairs. And I said, did I? He said, yes. That's okay. Good, 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 good. And I'm skipping down the dugout like a little kid, you know. And I finished 7 minutes that year. So after I got my confidence and I started realizing what I could and couldn't do and things like that, I went, shoot, you know, I can pitch again.
He had many more starts and would go on to win 10 games in 1976, earn National League Comeback Player of the Year. But probably the culmination of your comeback came in 1977 when you went 20-7 with an ERA of 2.78 and 11 complete games during the regular season. You would then shut out the Phillies amid a steady downpour at Veterans Stadium in Game 4 of the NLCS and help send the Dodgers to the World Series. Aside from the obvious joy of winning the pennant, do you consider that game and that season official confirmation to yourself and the baseball world that the surgery was a successful endeavor?
Well, that was the best game I ever pitched. For the conditions, pouring down rain, playoff game against one of our heated rivals, best game I ever pitched.
1-2 the count to Bake McBride. He struck him out. The Los Angeles Dodgers are the National League champions. Tommy John going the distance. A brilliant job by Tommy John. Finished with 8 strikeouts, and the Dodgers will go on to the World Series to play either the Kansas City Royals or the New York Yankees.
And, you know, it was a cherry on top of the ice cream sundae that I had, you know, that season. And Dr. Job told me, he said, once you get through, you know, like half the season and all this, and you've had no setbacks, he said, you'll go on and pitch better and better and better, just like it was, you know. And he was right on. He was absolutely correct about that.
When and how, if you can recall, did this elbow procedure begin to be referred to as the Tommy John surgery?
I don't know. Dr. Job was going around doing talks about the ulnar collateral ligament replacement surgery with the palmaris longus tendon. That's the official name of the surgery. Mm-hmm. And he said he got tired of saying it, so he kept saying, you know, the surgery I did on Tommy John, you know, the Tommy John surgery. And then it's like calling a kid doofus or whatever. You call it enough, and it sticks, and he's doofus for the rest of his life. And the Tommy John surgery just stuck, and everybody now says, oh, he's got to have Tommy John.
So 288 victories pitched in a remarkable 26 seasons. As a side note, just to show the incredible length and breadth of your career, your Major League debut came in Washington, D.C. with the Cleveland Indians against the Washington Senators in September 1963, and one of the men you faced was Don Zimmer. Then one of the last games you pitched in May of 89 as a member of the Yankees came against the Oakland A's and a youngster by the name of Mark McGwire. So talk about spanning generations right there.
No, Mark, I've known Mark for a long time because Mark's dad was my dentist out in L.A. And while he was working on my teeth, he was asking me about agents. And he said, "Who, you know, who's your agent?" And I got my mouth full of tools and everything. And when I got done, I said, it's Bob Cohen. And he said, do you like him? And I said, Bob's a good guy. I said, you know, there are probably ones better than him out there. But the thing about Bob is he's honest. And if he tells you something, it's the truth. Then it's not BS. Mm-hmm. It's the truth. And I said, so whatever he tells you, you can bank on it. And so I got out of the dentist chair, and they had a meeting with Bob Cohen, and they ended up signing with Bob. So Bob did all of Mark's big contracts with Oakland.
Even more remarkable than that, than the 288 victories and the 26 seasons, was that 164 of those wins and 13 of those seasons came following the surgery. It's no doubt that without Dr. Jobe, you would have been all but done in the major leagues after 1974. But had you never suffered the injury in 74 that led to the elbow procedure, do you think you would have lasted nearly as long as you did and won as many games as you did?
I have no idea. You can't go back and replay, so I don't know. I was, like I said, I was at the right place at the right time, and Dr. Jobe was at the right place at the right time. And the two of us, we had a good marriage, and, you know, we'll be friends. We'll be joined at the elbows forever.
A Miami Marlins doctor has recommended elbow reconstruction for ace Jose Fernandez. That would make last year's National League Rookie of the Year the 18th Major League Baseball pitcher to have Tommy John surgery this season.
I read an amazing stat, it's alarming really. High school pitchers drafted among the top 30 picks from 2010 to 2012 are now six times more likely to have Tommy John surgery than pitchers from 2002 to 2009. Six times more likely.
Now, almost one in four active pitchers in Major League Baseball today has had a Tommy John operation, and there was a real uptick in the frequency last season. When you underwent the surgery, it was considered to be somewhat daring because it had never been done before. Now it's almost a routine step in the life of a pitcher, to the point where some are calling it an epidemic. What is your opinion on how pitchers are utilized today at all levels, and do you feel that is the reason for why we see such a rise in the Tommy John surgery?
No. It's the way they're used, and they're utilized when they're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It's pitching 12 months a year in that age period. Your arm can't take it. In fact, Jim Andrews, the orthopedic out of Birmingham, he's got 6 months on, 6 months off. But if you tell parents that, oh, my God, Jim Andrews and Frank Tote and all these guys don't know squat. They're going to go down to this facility, and their son's going to make the travel team, and he's going to do this, and he's going to go to this showcase, and they're going to do that. The parents are living their lives vicariously through their kids' arms, and as a result, a lot of them are having to have Tommy John surgery.
Dr. Jobe, for the most part, is still underappreciated, and that's partially due to his modesty. It was certainly nice to see him deservedly recognized by the Hall of Fame in 2013, shortly before his passing away last March. But do you think respect towards him by pitchers and fans alike will only get stronger the more this operation continues to be a relevant topic in baseball, and in turn, the more frequently it's successful?
Well, I think people, you get farther away from the surgery back in 74. The kids that play the game now won't have any idea who Frank Jobe was. And they won't know that how great of a surgeon he was and what he can do and what he did and how he paved the way for all these guys to have the surgery. And the Jim Andrews come off the scene and they follow in Frank Jobe's footsteps. And I know I had to give a talk. They limit me to 5 minutes at the Hall of Fame. And I said there's been three men that have changed the face of baseball as we know it. Jackie Robinson for breaking the color barrier, Marvin Miller for breaking the free agency and the reserve clause and opening up the wallets and the bank accounts of the ball clubs and making salary they are today, and thank Joe for coming up with Tommy John surgery. Those three guys changed the face of baseball. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, our great thanks to Tommy John for joining us. Many pitchers would surely give a special thank you to Dr. Frank Jobe for his foresight and innovation. I'm Brian Wright, and you've been listening to Baseball As It Was.